evening to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3.
Ephesians chapter number 3. We'll begin in verse number 13 tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 13. Here the Bible tells us, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Father, we're grateful for this passage of Scripture, and help us now as we look into it for just a few moments tonight. May your Spirit guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This I find to be a tremendous passage. The book of Ephesians is just chock full with just great practical teaching from the Word of God to help us in our Christian life. And so it's hard to get very far in this book at a time, and I don't know that we're going to get out of the 13th verse tonight. Now, the section is that which I read down through verse number 19, and the theme here is how to be strong in the midst of adversity, how to be strong in the midst of adversity. And he gives us seven different things that we can do to be strong in the midst of adversity. And by adversity, it can mean many things. It can mean persecution. It can mean trials. It can mean all kinds of difficulties. Whatever difficulty you face in life, how you can be a strong Christian throughout the whole ordeal. And so as we begin tonight, we begin in verse number 13 when God tells us, verse number 13, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." What he's telling us here, the first thing we can do to be strong in the midst of adversity is to be careful that we're not discouraged because of the adversity in the lives of others. If you have a close friend or a fellow church member who you know is living for God and serving God, and you see all kinds of difficulties coming into their lives, it's easy for us to grow discouraged because we put ourselves in their shoes and we think, you know, if I live like they live, serving God and being faithful to Him and letting it be known out in the society, then the same thing is going to happen to me that's just happened to them. And the danger of that is seeing what they're going through and thinking within yourself, thinking, I am not going to go through what they're going through. And so what God says happens when that goes through our mind is that we faint, that we faint. To faint means to lack courage and spirit. Now, this is a Merriam-Webster dictionary, and then they give a synonym for faint using that way to lack courage and spirit, and they say it means cowardly. We have far too many Christians that are cowardly today. They don't want to do this for Christ. They don't want to do that for Christ. They don't want to stand out from the crowd, and they want to blend into the world, and they want to walk down an easy path to heaven. And unfortunately, they're going to find that though they might walk down an easy path to heaven, that when they get to heaven, they're going to regret every step that they took on that path. God doesn't always say that that road to heaven is paved with ease. Sometimes He puts bumps in the road, and a lot of times He put obstacles in the road. And all of these are for His glory and for His purpose. That's what the Apostle Paul alludes to at the end of verse number 13. He says, "Which is your glory?" The fact that Paul was serving God by serving them, and he was persecuted, and you can read in the book of Acts and see some of the things the Apostle Paul went through at Ephesus. It wasn't always a pretty picture for him. But God assured him, and God used him, that, and Paul knew he was right where God wanted him to be and kept him there longer than probably any of the other churches that we have letters written to. To faint can mean to be cowardly, to lack courage and spirit to do something for God. A second applicable definition is to just lack strength or vigor. And this is what we usually think of when we think of the word faint. We think of someone passing out. It's because they have a lack of strength or vigor. And when we apply this to what this verse is telling us, it means that they go through the Christian life just going through the motions. The way that Merriam-Webster dictionary put it is something performed weakly or languidly. Isn't that a word you use all the time, languidly? Makes me sound pretty intelligent, doesn't it? I only know it because it's in the Webster's dictionary. You know what I did? I looked it up. Languidly means with very little energy. In other words, just going through the motions. Not wanting to cause any ripples or any waves. Just trying to get by, doing as little as necessary, reading that couple of verses a day and the little snippet from a devotion and saying, that's my Bible reading, that's my devotion time, I did it. The little headache prayer before your food when you're out in public so that nobody really knows what's going on, but you met the obligations that God wants you to meet so that you can feel good about yourself. And God looks at it and says, why are you fainting? Why do you faint? Why do you quit? Why aren't you cowardly? Why do you do things with such little energy for Christ? Think of who we serve. We serve God in heaven who spoke everything into existence and who sustains everything in existence and who empowers us for service. Think of what He's invested in us, His Son dying on the cross and shedding that precious blood on our behalf so that we can have fellowship with Him and continue in fellowship with Him. Think of the investment He made by depositing His Holy Spirit's presence within ourselves so that we become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So that He can empower us and He can guide us and He can direct us and He can give us the words to say when we don't know what words to say. Why do things by just going through the motion? Isn't God worth serving? Isn't God worth giving everything we've got for? You know, we're coming up to football season. If you haven't noticed, the NFL is, this weekend is their second weekend of preseason games, and the Lions are looking really good, offense and defense. But I'm not getting my hopes up. The Lions do this every year, and then they go out and do poorly during the season. The Wolverines are about to start, as are the Buckeyes, and you watch a television game, and you see people painting their face and their hair and wearing all kinds of ridiculous costumes because they're excited about their football team and they don't want to just sit in the stands and yawn and pretend like they aren't involved. They're fans because they're a fanatic about football. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with being a fan, a fanatic of football, but the problem lies when we're fanatics about football so much, but then when it comes to Christ, we just go through the motions. We're fainting. We're fainting. We read the stories and this current issue of sort of the Lord has some things that you won't believe, but they're really true. Some things that people are going through for Christ. We read about that and we say, I don't want to be another statistic. I don't want to be something that Christians ooh and all over about what I went through. And so we just go through the motions. We faint. We see what others go through and we get discouraged and we think that God isn't on the throne anymore. We think that God isn't powerful anymore. We think that God isn't working anymore. I mean, how many churches have abandoned a visitation ministry? And yet we heard tonight about 8 years ago and other churches, you know, they want playtime for their teenagers. But here we have a couple of teenagers knocking on a door and leading someone to Christ and making an impact for all of eternity. God is still on the throne. Don't faint. Don't get discouraged. Just stick with it until He calls you home. Now I got to wondering about this word faint. And so I did a search. It's used a total of 9 times. You'll find the word faint 9 times. Now I didn't look up fainted or anything, just strictly the word faint, 9 times in the New Testament. 3 of them are in the Gospels. The other 6 are in the Pauline epistles, this being one of them. But I looked at how this word faint is used. And I thought, let's go ahead and look at that tonight. Let's talk about not fainting. You see, if we're going to be strong in the midst of adversity, we can't quit. Imagine what would happen in a football game if that left tackle, and if you don't know much about football, left tackle anchors the line. Most of the offense runs through the left tackle. Now, the center is kind of the captain of that offensive line, but it's that left tackle is where they put the biggest and the strongest of all their offensive linemen. What would happen one day if he said, well, you know, I've been working so hard, and these other fellows don't seem to be working as hard as I am, so I am just taking it easy today. What would happen to that football team if the left tackle decided to do that? What if he fainted, just went through the motions? That team wouldn't do any good on that particular day. So don't faint. Well, let's look at this idea of not fainting. How can we keep from fainting? Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And to look at all five of the other occurrences of the word faint, we really don't have to do a whole lot of turning. We have two of them here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, two of them in another chapter, and then one halfway in between. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, he starts off that verse talking about the ministry. In other words, he's saying God has his hand on us. He's given us something to do, a responsibility that he expects me to fulfill, something of service for my Savior by serving other people. And he says, I needed God's mercy to keep me from fainting. And so when you're getting to that point where maybe you're a little discouraged, or maybe you're looking around, as we saw in Ephesians, seeing the trouble others are going through and thinking, well, you know, this may not be worth it, to serve God and to be a fanatic for Christ, or as the Bible talks about being addicted to the ministry, maybe I ought to just lay back, maybe I ought to just show up for church and let that be good. Consider the mercy of God. He said mercy, he didn't say grace. I would have expected grace in this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. Because he's talking about going out and doing the ministry for God, serving God in a very practical and plain way. And I would have thought he needed power, that's grace. I would have thought he needed direction, that's grace. But what he talks about here is mercy. He says it's only of God's mercy. What is mercy? Not getting the punishment that we deserve. I find that interesting. Paul understood his entire life who he was. He refers to himself as the chief of sinners. Paul knew if he was going to be effective for God, that the sin would be dealt with in his life by the mercy of God, put under the blood of Christ. And oftentimes we faint because we've got this big snowball of sin that we've allowed to build up and drive that wedge between us and God. We've never sought out God's mercy. I believe part of the reason that Paul was as effective as he was, and he says right here very plainly, the reason he didn't faint, the reason he didn't quit, the reason he didn't lose strength, the reason he didn't just go through the motions, is because he went regularly to the throne of grace to receive that mercy that he needed for the sin in his life. When you go to the throne of grace for mercy, one of the things you're realizing is what you deserve for the sins that you've committed. But another thing you realize is how wonderful and loving our Savior is. And when you realize what He did for us and how much He's invested in us and how He has demonstrated that love in such a significant way of sending His Son, don't you just want to serve someone like that? Don't you just want to give them your life? Don't you want to try to repay them in the only way you can, by offering your life as a living sacrifice? God tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, if you want to keep from fainting, remember the mercy of God. It's by God's mercy that we faint not. Moving down a few verses to verse number 15, he tells us a second way we can keep from fainting. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, at the end of verse number 16, he's talking about physical weakness. He's talking about being at the end of the ropes physically, not being able to do much, and being weary and exhausted. And I tell you frequently that the Christian ought to be tired. We ought to be exhausted. It's the normal Christian life, because we're trying to balance family with work, with serving God. And that's a lot on anyone's plate to do. And a lot of responsibility, and a full-time responsibility in any three of those areas. And yet God gives it all to all of us, but then he empowers us to do all of that. And so we ought to physically be weary and tired. Our day of rest is coming. Don't quit too early. Don't faint too soon and say, I need my rest. Just stay faithful to the end. Don't faint. But Paul says here, in verse number 16, yet in the middle of that verse, though our outward man perish, he says, man, I'm tired. He says, boy, I'm exhausted. He says, I've seen it all. And he lists in other places what he went through in the service of Christ. Physically, he was a mess. He makes reference to bearing the marks of Christ in his body. Things we've never had to endure, been asked to endure, or ever expect to endure. The Apostle Paul did it, and yet he kept plodding on. He wasn't a drag racer. He was in for the long haul, just slow and steady. Now, why did he do that? How did he do that? At the beginning of verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. You see, Paul knew there was a cause. Paul was rallying around something that was important, something that kept him going when he was tired, something that kept him moving when he was weary, something that kept him on that evangelistic and missionary road when it seemed like there was no way he could step another step in front of the other. What is the cause that kept the Apostle Paul moving? We would think that it might be the winning of souls and the evangelizing of cities and nations, but that's not what he says here. We would think that perhaps it would be to and if we're carnally thinking, we would think it's because he wants his name up on a pedestal or on a plaque or a trophy in his living room. But of course, that's not it either. The Bible tells us what it is, and it's at the end of verse number 15, which is why we backed up to 15 to find out what we need to do in order not to faint. The last part of verse number 15 talks about the glory of God. He says in the beginning of verse 15, we do all things for your sake. We're serving God for your sake, so that the abundant grace of God poured out through Paul and through those that worked with him and the other Christians, so the service that they rendered to God that would then minister in lives, that people then would praise God for what God has done through them. The thanksgiving of many would redound to the glory of God. The glory of God was Paul's cause. That was his motivation. That's what kept him moving when he was weary. And so Paul didn't faint. And so we can learn that for God's glory, we faint not. Remembering that that's why we're living. That's why God leads us here. That's why God uses us. It's not for any other reason. It's for God's glory. Keep that in mind the next time you grow weary and the next time you grow tired. And so we faint not because of God's mercy. We faint not because of God's glory. Then over in Galatians chapter 6, we find the third time this word is used in the Pauline epistles. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Now, this weary isn't necessarily a physical weary. I believe it's more of a mental or psychological weariness. where you're doing the right thing all the time and it don't seem to have any results or seem to have any effect, seem to really be making a difference in the world. That's what we all want to do in life. You can go to the college campus of any Bible college that's training preachers and missionaries, and you ask those young men what they expect God to do with their life, man, they're going to tell you some really big ideas and good for the vision that God gives them. And as Christians, we all should dream those big dreams and strive after those big goals. But God doesn't always have all of us to have those big dreams and realize those big goals. Remember what the cause is. The cause is just simply the glory of God. And so God just wants to use you to bring glory to Him. However that may be, whether it's being faithful, speaking to a pastor or a young man training for the ministry, it might just be to be a pastor, lifelong pastor in a small church. I mentioned other pastors like Pastor Oxendine, who's been faithful for so long in his church and in an area where that church will never be a big church. And yet he's faithful because that's where God put him. What a hero he is. He may not be to other people, but he is to me because of his faithfulness to God, and he's living for the glory of God. And we may not agree on everything, but he's living for the glory of God, and I'm not going to argue with that. So this is talking about, in Galatians 6, 9, a psychological or mental weariness. And we need to realize that that's not an excuse. He goes on to say, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so here we find that for God's approval, we faint not. Whatever it is God calls us to do, the only thing He asks us to do in the working that out in our lives is just being faithful. He doesn't tell us when we're going out knocking on doors that we have to win so many to Christ before we can come back in. He doesn't say that we have to work people up into an emotional situation where they just say a prayer to get rid of you or say a prayer for relief. He wants people to go out and do what God asks them to do, and that's present the gospel. He wants us to teach the Sunday school, and those kids or those adults that we teach may never get it. But he wants us to be faithful as Sunday school teachers, to be faithful with God's word and sharing the message that God has laid on our hearts. And in children's ministry, well, there's any ministry that can be more frustrating than that. To invest in the lives of those young people and you gain a real love for those young people, and then to see the way sometimes that they turn out when it's all said and done. It's easy to grow psychologically weary. And you begin to wonder, is it really worth it all? Is the effort really worth the expense? And in this verse, God is assuring us it's worth it. It's worth it because there's a payday coming. And even though Satan pays with counterfeit cash, God doesn't. God pays with streets of gold. And yet those streets of gold are virtually worthless because He has crowns for those that are faithful. And to serve for those crowns is something that every Christian should keep in mind because there is a payday coming. We want God's approval. We all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's so many that expect to hear that will not hear that said as they appear before God because they fainted. They got to a point of psychological exhaustion where they said, it's just not worth it anymore, and then just went through the motions. And so we don't faint because of God's mercy. We don't faint because of God's glory, nor do we faint because of God's approval. We want it. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Here we have the last two occurrences. I told you there were six. The first one being there in Ephesians. And these are the other five. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's start reading with verse number 1. Not necessarily because it relates to what I'm going to say, but just because these are great verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I believe those cloud of witnesses aren't necessarily in a grandstand watching our lives. I believe that probably what God is telling us is that others have done it. You can too. And I think it applies very directly to fainting, because when you read about the lives and study the lives of those mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, you realize they've gone through things that you'll never be asked to endure. And they stayed faithful. They never fainted. So can we. He goes on to say in verse number 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't faint? But notice the wording here. He had every opportunity. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He went through that endurance and he went through that despising without quitting. And so we come to verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Again, notice the wording, endured and contradiction and against. And he says, consider him lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so we find that by God's example, we can faint not. We just simply consider what he did and the contradiction of Christ, the sinless one, the holy Son of God, bearing your sin and not just yours, but the sin of the world. And he didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't say it's not worth it. He didn't say that the price is more than I am willing to pay, and so I'm just going to sit back and take it easy. No, he went to the cross and he endured all that suffering that was involved in that, and he stayed there until he gave up his life for you and for me. If you're ever thinking about quitting or slowing down for Christ or just going through the motions to make it look like you're doing something for him, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What an encouragement that is to stay faithful. What an exhortation that is to not quit or give up. Because we're doing it for him and for his glory. And so we faint not because of God's example. And then down in verse number 5, we read this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. This is God speaking to each one of us, my son or my daughter, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Sometimes God brings chastisement in our lives. Is chastisement pleasant? I know growing up, chastisement was never pleasant because mom could swing a mean belt. Dad could do it even better. That's chastisement. You know, God can swing a better belt than mom or dad ever could. It doesn't even compare. And when God decides he needs to chastise me, when he decides he needs to chastise you, I can guarantee you it is not pleasant. Not all unpleasantness in your life is God's chastisement. But we need to consider every time it comes into our life whether it is or not. But don't let these things, just as we began, because of God's mercy, we faint not, or seeing other Christians suffering and thinking it's not worth it. Let's also consider this, that sometimes we go through hard times because God is trying to get our attention and God is demonstrating his love and his concern and his tender care and his fatherly nature over you by chastising you when you're a little out of sorts, when you need an attitude adjustment, or you just need to get back walking where God wants you to walk. He'll send something to get you back where you need to be for your good because he loves you. And so instead of fainting like so many do in times like that, be encouraged. Cheer up. Because God loves you and cares about you and will do what he needs to do to keep you walking in his path. And so back in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 13, Paul says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not in my tribulations for you." Folks, don't faint. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever grow weary. Don't ever just go through the motions. Consider the reasons that God gives us for staying in the fight. His mercy, His glory, His approval, His example, and His chastisement. And stay in the fight. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your encouragement. You know this world is not our home, but it's full of the adversary's ways. And we know that so often our adversary, which is the devil, uses people in our lives to try to cause us to faint, to quit, to give up, to defeat us. But Father, we know that through Christ, we're more than conquerors. And so Father, help us to live like conquerors in this Christian and in the Christian life. Encourage us and help us to never faint, to never give up, but to always stay enthusiastic about serving You with our lives. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.